What are your thoughts on the economy?
Hello, hello.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, October 26th. I'm Jay Skeets, alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. Got my Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Hey!
Yo!
Hello. The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lee. And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live on YouTube. Make sure you guys subscribe, like, comment, and share the show. We are trying, and if I'm being honest, failing at hitting 50,000 subs by Halloween night. Oh, we got a ways to go here in not many days, but that's okay. Thanks to everybody that has subscribed. And
at least we're sub 50,000, you know?
Yeah, that's true. that's a good point.
Good point.
We got an action-packed show here. So much to talk about. We're 1 week into the season, so we'll get into surprises from 7 days of basketball and MVP leaders and predictions gone right or bad. We're going to talk about the games last night. But first, guys, 2 days in a row for this week, and we got our second wedgie. Luckily, the Blazers-Clippers game, so that means Lamar Hurd was on the call. Roll it, JD.
Iron it out and pops free to Simons. Simons goes right back to the rack, lays it up, and it's lodged between the rim and the glass.
We got our first wedgie of the season.
Oh, that's the way the night is gone.
Our friends at No Dunks are celebrating because they live for the wedges.
We live for the wedgies. That's right. Hashtag we are wedgie, Lamar. First wedgie for the Blazers, of course. Second wedgie on the season. WedgieTracker.com has already updated. And Tass, I know you're going to like the look of that. Yesterday when we showed you this, said we were on pace for just 49. Ugh. Already, just one more last night, boom, jumping up to 52.
And it feels so right that Lamar Hurd on the call, who was a big backer of the wedgie last season, just couldn't stop giving us shout-outs because the Blazers had wedgie after wedgie after wedgie, and he's just got to get Kevin Calabro onto the plan here. You know, Calabro said the ball lodged, Roger lodged between the rim and the backboard. Let's go, Calabro. You're our guy. It's great to hear his voice, but now you got to get with it. They're going to come fast and furious now.
They come
that's what happened last year.
I gotta agree. Now that we got the Blazers in the mix, they're just gonna be sticking like crazy. We got the Wedgie Whisperer, Lamar Hurd, and the Baron of the Ball Stall himself, Anthony Simons, collaborating on the second Wedgie of the season. We might not be on pace for 50,000 subs by Halloween, but at least we're on pace for 50 Wedgies this season.
That's a good point. Yeah, I saw Israel Top Shot Community. They tweeted at us, Trey. Anthony Simons is Mr. Wedgie at this point. He's got the Wedgie moment on Top Shot, and he plays for Lamar Hurd's Blazers, the Wedgie Whisperer. So, yeah, I think he does have that title, which is great to see, Lele. Already at two here.
Yes, it is. And all the jokes there, the collaboration there for the Wedgie. I was on that one there too, Trevor. You got in first.
So. Oh. Scooped you, buddy.
Yeah, maybe it's a collodged bro, something like that. That's what he said. I don't know. I'm on the fly. Here. Not working too well, but great to have Lamar Hurd. I mean, what is it about the Blazers? We thought maybe it was like the Blazers home court, but I think it's just wherever the Blazers go, the Wedgies will follow.
Yeah. I mean, that was a pretty rare type of wedgie too, like a little
softy,
a layup soft wedgie there on the left side, stuck it, you love it. Okay, fantastic stuff. Shout out to our guy Lamar Hurd. Let's play a little what you got this morning, boys.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
Oh yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, tickle the ivory there. What you got? It's really simple. Fun way to sort of recap some of the games last night. We'll bounce around, I'm sure. The first one, though, we're starting dunks here on No Dunks. My goodness, there were a lot of hammers last night. I'm only going to give you three options. Apologies to John Collins and many others in the association last night. But dunk of the night, guys. Lauri Markkanen on the Joker. Jaylen Brown on Miles Bridges. Or Miles Bridges off of a slick dime from LaMelo Ball. So, Tass, you can get us started here. Dunk of the night from those three. What you got?
You know, how many dunks did we have last night? That was ridiculous that it started off like that. It started off as the John Collins dunk of the night, and that was quickly usurped by a bunch of guys. But to me, the easy answer is Jaylen Brown, the most violent of all the dunks. Miles Bridges, violent. But Jaylen Brown's violent on somebody, on a dunker himself who went after that thing.
Yep.
And that's the biggest thing. He really tried to block it. So that's the biggest part. Miles Bridges had the dunk the other way that was hard. He really punched it. But Jaylen Brown's pretty. He cocks back both of those legs. So that's what really gets me excited. When I see that photo right there that the Boston Celtics put up, that's the thing of beauty. Lauri Markkanen, good. Best dunk in a 0-0 game ever, but Jaylen Brown, come on.
Okay, so we got a vote for Jaylen Brown in the overtime there. Celtics big run and on Bridges. Bridges, I think, tweeted too, hey, look, I'm jumping every time trying to block that in a close game in overtime.
I love that part. I'm jumping every time in a close game. He's like, I'm not going to get dunked on during a blowout. That's ridiculous. But I'm with Tass. It's got to be Jaylen Brown. As Yariel is saying here in the stream team, that dunk was basically the dagger of the game. I think it was a three-point lead for the Celtics at the time when Jaylen Brown went up. And he's like, I know that guy's a dunker. I have to try and dunk it as hard as possible. Took the air out of the building for the Hornets, and from there on, it was all the Celtics game. You don't see a dagger dunk very often, so I would say that Jaylen Brown, best dunk of the night. However, I do think that Lauri Markkanen had the best poster of the night, getting his dunk on Nikola Jokic here right down the lane, as Tass was saying, kicking it off with a bang. A little bit of a Tom Chambers gliding up on Jokic's chest here. And the thing I really loved about the Markkanen dunk was the picture that the Cavs put up. These photographers are incredible. Look how statuesque this Lauri Markkanen dunk looks here on Nikola Jokic. It looks like he's jumping about 15 feet in the air because you actually can't see that his feet aren't that high off the ground because he's a 7-footer. I love the poster of this, but Jaylen was the dunk of the night for me.
Lee, what do you think here?
What's your answer? Jokic actually gets away with, he was a bit of an Anderson Varejao there with the legs going back up in the air when Dwayne Wade dunked on him. But because it was at home and he was kind of off to the side, you don't see that so much. But it's tough to go past Jaylen Brown, but I will take Miles Bridges for the entire play. I'm not sure if that really counts, but LaMelo Ball here with just a gorgeous pass like that. And then Bridges punches it down. Now, if you're watching the Charlotte Hornets feed there, I think you get the Eric Collins bump on this as well, because he goes completely crazy. Right. But that's kind of like being wind assisted in the 100 meters race. You know, it's like it's an advantage because it makes it feel like the dunk is perhaps better than it was because it's Eric Collins there. But LaMelo, I mean, just coming down the lane there, you know, skipping through and then flipping it over his shoulder. I mean, can you imagine if that's a turnover? You know, and it's like, oh, what's he doing?
Well, hold on. That should have been. He wasn't passing that to Bridges, right?
Where do you think he was going?
Plumlee. He's going to the plum dog, I think.
I don't think so. I think so.
Interesting. Interesting.
I don't know.
Definitely could have been.
Hey, I love LaMelo. I love this play, but I do not think he was actually going to Bridges.
I'm giving LaMelo credit.
Yeah, wow. It's too high, I think. I think he sees Bridges coming through.
Yeah, it was too high. It was a bad pass to Plumlee. Luckily, Bridges was cutting into the middle there. I'm just saying.
But Bridges getting that was certainly the dunk of the night at that point last night. But all the other ones came through later on. And it was just an incredible night. Anthony Edwards had a huge one. John Collins just did his standard sort of baptizing his defender there as well. But what a great night. Too. So I think Jaylen Brown, though, impact on another guy challenging for that dunk and the fact that it basically sealed the game. I think he gets the three votes there. But Markkanen's was huge and unexpected. And Bridges was just probably the most enigmatic because Eric Collins really sells it, as he always does.
Yeah, I can't go with Markkanen's because I don't even think that's his best dunk from the calendar year. He had a huge one on Sweet Moses Brown, like back in March.
He's got some dunks.
I think it was better than even this one. And yeah, I'm with you guys. It's Jaylen to me, mainly because I don't get too hyped for a dunk when the defender, in Jokic's case, just stood there. Like, he's trying to take a charge. So he's like, he's not really challenging the dunk. He's like, I'll see if I can get, like, sort of a quick offensive foul here. And sure, Markkanen skied over him. Like you said, Trey, the poster looks awesome. But, you know, he wasn't jumping. This one, Bridges, is like, he's trying to just deny Jaylen Brown there. And that is just two awesome dunkers going at it above the rim. So that gets my vote as well. And it sounds like most people are sort of in agreement here. Go ahead, Lee.
good comment here from Alexi here about the LaMelo Ball pass. He's not wasting that on Plumdog.
Hey, look, I love it. People are all in on LaMelo Ball. Even what I believe was going to be a turnover, which turned into an incredible highlight. People were like, this guy's sick. He sees things 10 steps ahead. Hey, maybe. All right, let's keep it moving.
Hold on real quick, Skeets. Those were great highlights. My favorite thing I saw last night, though, that was going around on, you know, the YouTube channels of things you got to see from last night was we finally had a forehead-to-forehead between Ricky Rubio and Facundo Campazzo. Basically, Rubio got upset that Campazzo, like, kind of kneed him in the knee. And these two went straight up forehead-to-forehead, and then they backed away pretty quickly. But I was happy to see anytime we get an old my buddy Grish throw down here. It only happens, like, two or three times a season. And I don't think I would have picked these two guys to be going forehead to forehead.
Oh no, it's rarely guards that do this. This is a big man move, Tass, the forehead to forehead. So yeah, this is wild, especially your guy Rubio there, all fired up in the Cavs victory.
Yeah, the 2-2 Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll talk about them. They deserve a little bit of chat, but Kevin Love put it perfectly. Rubio's teammate said this would have been one of the worst fights of all time. No faith in Rubio and Campazzo to scrap it out.
Yeah.
Come on,
that's the
little guy.
The angriest I've ever seen Ricky Rubio's face.
For sure.
Change your face. Be happy.
Little guys put on a good show. If you're an MMA fan, they could have.
That's right. Okay, well, let's get to some teams here. We're going to ask this next question. Trey, you can go first. More disappointing start to their season, the Raptors or the Pacers, both losing again last night. They're still at one victory. These are two teams that, you know, tough to figure out, I think, heading into the season, but you could see them being good. You could see them maybe leaning into tank. What was more disappointing, not just the loss last night, but the start to the season there, Trey?
Well, no offense to my friends, but the Raptors were bad last year.
Yep.
They lost an all-star in Kyle Lowry. They have an all-star in Pascal Siakam, who's still sitting on the bench, and they lost to the best team in the NBA last night. So I'm giving the Raptors a little bit of a pass for right now. So it's got to be the Pacers. They had a bummer season last year. Tons of injuries. They hated their coach. Got smoked out of the play-in tournament, but not a smooth start to this season either. They blew a 20-point lead to the Hornets in their season opener. They lost to the Wizards in overtime in a night where Miles Turner had a 40-point game, had an OT win against the Heat. Nice one. And then they lost last night to the Milwaukee Bucks, which is fine. However, the Bucks were missing Jrue Holiday, Brooke Lopez, and Bobby Portis. So you would hope to maybe steal a win there, but I'm not too upset about a loss to the Bucks. That being said, the losses to the Hornets and Wizards, those ones are going to matter because it feels like the Pacers, Hornets, and Wizards could be competing for kind of the same spot, and this could matter. Tiebreaker time once we get towards the end of the season. What it comes down to for me is that Rick Carlisle has not been the game changer for the Pacers yet. I think they'll get better as the season goes on, no doubt, but their big move of the summer was adding a coach. And if that's your biggest move, the team didn't change very much. They lost Doug McDermott. They brought in Chris Duarte in the draft. And unfortunately for the Pacers, he's been their best wing so far. They're just looking super shallow. It'd be nice to see TJ Warren back on the court at some point. It'd be nice to see Jeremy Lamb playing like he was before he got hurt last year. Right now, though, there's just not a lot to be excited about with the Pacers.
Tass, what do you... Where do you go with this one? Is it the Raps or Pacers if you have to pick between just these two in the Eastern Conference for disappointing starts?
Easy one for me. It's tuning into a Toronto Raptors game and watching what I watched last night. It's more, you know, it's hitting home right now. I agree with Trey. Obviously, they've got beauty excuses. Pascal Siakam is a very good player no matter what you think of him. It's disappointing probably that he had his surgery so late in this calendar year that he's missing time. Whatever happened. I don't know why it had to be so much later than the season. But you tune into a team and you're watching guys who can't hit layups when really it seems like there's enough talent on that team to be able to hit layups. But there's just a rotation that hasn't come together at all. There's guys doing a little too much, like Precious Achiuwa, when Ken Birch was a solid center last year. They just haven't found a way to play together at this point because I think there's enough talent. They've had one really good half of basketball through their first six halves of basketball sitting where they are right now. And that's just disappointing. I know there's good excuses, but it is disappointing. You just expect more from these NBA players, that they should be able to execute a little bit better, but it's like they're all in the same space a lot of the time. The spacing is just bad. It just doesn't feel like a Nick Nurse team to this point.
Van Vliet is being asked to do so much on this Raps team, and he's being stretched thin. And if you didn't watch the game, you're going to maybe look at the box score and go, wow, Van Vliet had 17 assists, which is pretty damn impressive. He also had a really nice run there in like the final couple minutes, scored like 8 points of his 15. Again, he sort of kept them in it, but he's having to conjure up something every single time on this squad right now, especially without Siakam. And he turned the ball over 8 times. I thought he actually had a garbage first half and then had a really good second half. I don't know what the Bulls were doing here, Trey, too. I'd like to get to them and how great they played at times. And then, like, I thought Vucevic was shaving points in this game. It was amazing. He just kept, like, throwing the ball away. But
an insane fourth quarter from Vucevic.
Insane. Some weird turnovers from the Bulls there and nearly let it slip away. Luckily, DeRozan sort of hit some timely jumpers there. But, Lee, just with the Raptors, what have you seen from them here early? You know, 1-3. They're 0-3 at home, too. This was the thing. We're like, ah, they were in Tampa. That was one hell of an excuse. Yeah. They're going to come home. They're going to win some of these games. And they haven't even won one yet in the Scotiabank Arena.
No, but they've still got a positive net rating because they absolutely hammered the Boston Celtics in their one victory. So you can take something from that, perhaps. But yeah, it's weird that they were able to just go into Boston and get such a convincing victory when last night they were down 20, I think, in like the third quarter against the Bulls there. Now, they did make a run, and they could have almost stolen this one because it was pretty chaotic there at the end. But they are just a little bit out of sync right now. OG's been very good at times, but I think their offense is just a little bit stagnant at the moment. They need to get a little bit more consistent production. So I think that's an adjustment. Kyle's not there, which they had to move on from him, but now Fred is the man. So it's like, okay, you have more expectations, you have more defensive focus, and without Pascal there, he isn't able to defer to another guy who can go out there and get a bucket. So I think the Raptors will be okay. I mean, again, they nearly sort of stole this one last night. If they could have gotten that, they'd be back to two and two, but they didn't. Defensively, this game, both teams kind of got good credit for their defense, but I think it was more just some really, really sloppy offensive possessions.
I agree. Both teams.
Caruso just lost the ball out of bounds. I think Zach LaVine did as well. And then that last play where was it Vucevic who passed it into the Raptors front court and Scotty Barnes, I think, dunked it at the end. It led to make it a 2-point game. I have no idea why NBA players ever pass to the other team's front court ever under any circumstances, because that could happen. And that nearly cost them the game the last night. But for the Bulls, and Trey, you know, I'll let you sort of take it from here. How incredible is it to have a guy like DeRozan who saved the game, won the game, got to the free throw line, got his little mid-rangers going, because their offense stalled completely. Yeah. And Zach LaVine, you know, he's very good. He can score, he can shoot. But it was DeRozan last night who just said, get out of the way, fellas. This is why I'm here. You need some buckets. I'll go get them. I'll get fouled a couple of times. And I think he finished perfect at the line, 12 for 12. That is just such an important thing for Chicago to have a guy who they can rely on so heavily to get them some buckets late.
Yeah, 10 for 10 from the line for DeRozan. The Bulls finished 21 for 22, Lee. You must have been loving it. But that fourth quarter, I think they went over to the bench. Billy Donovan read some tweets from J.E. Skeet saying, this guy's saying the Bulls are back, and he's going full temper boy tomorrow. And then everybody but DeRozan pooped their pants. It was terrible. Like, they got to 3 wins and then won the first 3 quarters and said, we did it. We won 4 straight games in a row for Zach LaVine, and that's what it looked like to me, was the Bulls trying not to lose in the fourth quarter rather than just going out there and trying to win, playing the exact same way they had for the first 3 quarters. I can't believe Vucevic ended up as a plus 14. That's crazy to me. He would have been like a plus 25. I just know this guy's going to be the Bulls scapegoat this year, because they're a tiny inside. He's their only big guy they have. He was sick coming into the game last night, and he was making me sick the way he was playing. He's not finishing inside. He's not rebounding. And like you're saying, Skeets, he was just throwing the ball away, getting like he was bringing his guy to traps. He was getting trapped. It was a shock that he didn't foul Van Vliet on that last 3-point attempt. Right. I was like, either this is going to go in and it's a 4-point play and the Raptors are getting a win, or we're going for 3 free throws. But somehow it did not happen. But you can already see with like the way it went down last night, DeRozan literally carrying the Bulls, hitting fadeaway after fadeaway, looking like 2016 DeMar back in Toronto again. The Bulls defense is going to stick out at some point, and it's going to be because they get crushed inside. And when that's the case, all eyes are going to be on Vucevic. And I don't know. You said it last night, Skeets. He can score. He can pass. But it never looks cool. Like, he's the only guy on the Bulls right now that's not cool.
He's just a weird player because, like, you sort of at times, you want to hate him or you're like, what are you actually doing? But then you look at a box score and you're like, well, the guy just gave us, like, you know, whatever, 20 points.
17 and 8. And 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you're like, all right, he's like basically always a 20-10 type of guy. He's pretty consistent, but yeah, definitely not cool. And they got hammered on the boards.
Big time.
The Bulls did, but then the Raps just gave it all back in turnovers. I mean, sloppy play again. Like, I was going nuts on Van Vliet Tass. The first half, I was like, he missed Precious like on a fast break, just wasn't looking. The 1-5 pick and roll between those two was like a turnover every time, it felt like. They finally unlocked one late in the game. And again, I just think Fred is being asked to do way too much for, you know, his talent level, to be honest. Like, he shouldn't be a number one guy on a team. I mean, I know he likes to bet on himself, but even that's a little too far. So maybe Siakam comes back and they find a little more groove offensively, because he can't be doing everything. He played massive amount of minutes, and this is the thing. Nurse knows this. It's like, we have to have him out there. We can't do anything else. I mean, Barnes is a rookie. Yeah, he can sort of play make, but you're asking too much from him. And OG flashes Lee at times, but I don't think he's had a great start to this season either. But Tass, anything else to add to the Raps here, last night's game?
Yeah, they could use another ball handler. That's why Malachi Flynn is the favorite of Raps fans to get into the rotation. He was shooting after the game. He's putting in the effort. Get him in there, Nurse. I know it's everybody's favorite thing to get on Nick Nurse right now, because the rotations are funny. Van Vliet being asked to do a lot, and as I said, Precious Chua doing a little too much ball handling out there. So, it's a big clogger dogger in that lane, because no one is going out to try and challenge the three-point shooters a lot anyway, because, there's just not a lot of faith in the Raptors' scores. When you got, Barnes is playing, they're playing off him, obviously, they're playing off the center, whoever is in that rotation. Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised Chris Boucher isn't getting more minutes. It's going to take some time. There should be more ball handlers out there.
All right, our final question here. Better first win. Lee, get us started here. The Pelicans or the Clippers off the schneid, getting their first W. Who are you going with?
Yeah, I'm not too worried about the Clippers, despite being 0-2 before last night. Both losses were close games. Could have been won, but they didn't. So they were due for one, and they got a really convincing one against Portland last night. So for me, the answer is the Pelicans, because I think they are just going to struggle for wins. But they looked like a decent team last night against the Wolves, and the Minnesota Timberwolves winning those first two games, you can just tell this team just isn't ruthless enough. They should have gone out there and really made it 3-0. They should have been, and they could have been, because they're better than the Pelicans right now. But they weren't able to do that last night. And Brandon Ingram, talk about DeMar DeRozan. Brandon Ingram down the stretch for the Pelicans was really good in this one. Hit their last four field goals and just looked like that all-star guy where he's like, I'm not falling into a hole here, 0-3. I'm going to carry my team to a victory here against an opponent that, you know, again, they beat the Rockets and then, of course, the Pelicans for the Wolves' first two games. But if Minnesota's going to be better, they have to be able to feast on these teams that they're better than. And they got down big last night. Anthony Edwards was huge for them in the third quarter. He had another great big dunk as well. But this one wasn't actually that close in the end. The Pelicans were just too good. Valanciunas, I know we're going to get to him in a minute. He was fantastic for them. And that's the thing. I mean, the Pelicans team, any win is a good win for them right now. I'm not sure how many more they're going to get, but they got on the board there last night. I think the Minnesota Timberwolves this morning are probably kicking themselves that this one was something that, you know, they could be 3-0. They could be the Bulls of the West.
Right? Yeah. They unfortunately are not. What about you, Trey? Better first win. Was it New Orleans or L.A.?
Well, it's got to be the Pelicans, because not only was it their first win of the season, it was also Jonas Valanciunas' first 20-rebound game of the season. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Jonas Valanciunas had 23 rebounds. You think this is slicked back? This is beefed back. That's a lot of roast beef, which is rebounds.
Oh yeah. First 20 plus for Valanciunas. Nice to see. I got a bet with my buddy Big Smooth over a romantic roast beef dinner. I said the line for this season is 40. We're up to 3 already.
Yeah.
Could we get there? Only time will tell, but nice win for the Pelicans. I think they needed it more because Lee was saying about the Timberwolves, the same is true for the Pelicans. You have to beat the teams that you can beat. And it's like these two teams, they're probably going to be in the mix for a play-in tournament spot as well, depending on how things play out this season. So to go 2-0 down in the season series could have been bad news bears. For the Pelicans, that being said, the Clippers, definitely a more impressive win. They forced 30 turnovers, hit 14 threes, and won by 30. And really, that's going to be how they succeed, right? Like, they're going to be a small team. There's no doubt about it. Isaiah Hartenstein was getting some run out there last night, but it's going to be trapping and trying to force turnovers against a team like the Blazers, who are going to be a perimeter-based team. They've got a lot of small guys, so you got to play fast. You're not going to crush anybody on the glass, so you got to get out in transition, get some open threes, and that's exactly what the Clippers did last night. Looked like the Clippers.
Yeah, the truth is I could have included the Blazers in that last question on what you got there, Tass. Most disappointing start, Raptors, Pacers, or Blazers. I kept it to the Eastern Conference, but back to this one. What was the more impressive or better first win to you, Pelicans or Clips?
Well, I think the Wolves losing to the Pelicans just kind of shows that it's tough to beat the same team two games in a row. They did beat the Pelicans the first time when they played them, and then they had a back-to-back with them, and then they lost the second time. We saw what happened with the Knicks and the Magic. Same thing happened. Knicks took care of them the first time, and then they lost the second time. It takes a good team to do that.
Yeah.
Like the 4-0 Chicago Bulls beating the Detroit Pistons twice right. The first week of the season. Only the great teams do it.
only the very good ones, for sure. And a very good guy got his first win with the New Orleans Pelicans as their head coach, Willie Green, who everybody loves, been around the league for a long time. Willie did it, and everybody extremely happy for Willie Green. Anybody who's come across him in his journeyman career as a player, he was always that guard that would always sort of get a job. You're Anthony Tolliver of the backcourt, I would call him, I guess. Good for him as the coach of the Pels.
Any other games you guys wanted to touch on before we head to our first break, and then we'll get into recapping week one of the NBA season? You have your eye on any other games there last night, Tess?
I sure did. It was a great slate. I thought this stat was nuts. Kevin Durant reached 24,000 points in his 888th career game. Allen Iverson did the exact same thing. 888 games to get to 24,000. Weird. Bruce Brown started for the first time for the Nets this year.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a surprise that the Wiz backcourt struggled against Bruce Brown and that flavor he brings defensively. It's not all just him, but he brings that energy. So the change for Nash and the Nets to go back to the guy who was their sort of that energizer bunny as a center who doesn't play center. He's just out there to be tough. So they win because Bruce Brown is back in the lineup. They smashed the Wizards. I said the Cavs, speaking of defense, the Cavs, if you just watch them, it is so hard for guards to score against them because they're starting Evan Mobley, the rook, and they're starting Jared Allen as their 4-5. And if you're running a pick and roll of 1-4, 1-5, it's just so hard with those two guys that are ready to move their feet. Denver's backcourt yesterday against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who went into Denver and won, scored a combined 14 points. You may say, okay, Facundo, Campazzo, Monte Morris, whatever. But the Cavs did it two games in a row. They stopped Trae Young on Saturday. He was 8 for 22, and Bogdanovich was 2 for 7. It's just hard. I'm sure teams are going to start to go at Lauri Markkanen a little bit more in the Cavs starting lineup because Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, it is incredible. They have guard feet in center bodies, and it's tough. People question the Jared Allen contract, 5 for 100, because they didn't know his name, but he does absolutely everything a coach wants. He was 10 of 11 last night. He's been 11 of 11 in a previous game.
This guy missed a shot, basically. Yeah.
He's a dunking machine. Guy who hasn't missed a free throw all season. Speaking of guys who haven't missed a shot, LaMelo Ball. It's only 7 for 7,
okay.
But the shooting from him is hat. 4 of 8 per game from the three-point land.
Mm.
Where did that come from? Where he's shooting 50%. The guy he's taking 8 threes a game. He shot whatever it was in Australia for that 1 year. It was a quick year, but it was about 25% from three-point land. And to be doing what he's doing, I know it's not a surprise because of his rookie year, but the shot it's pretty incredible that he's got that continuing on from last year.
He's not even the best player on his team. Miles Bridges, Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Incredible stuff. Lee, what were you zeroed in on last night? Was it the Hornets Celtics game or something else?
Well, that's where I started the night, of course. Yeah. But when I woke up this morning, I really was shocked to see that the Cavs won in Denver. I mean, that's obviously one of the toughest places to play anyway. And they got a good win. And Kevin Love coming off the bench, scoring 22 points for them. I mean, it's sort of shocked that he's still on that team. And he's shown some moments last season, especially kind of pouting and not really being a team guy. But he's sort of accepted that role. And if he can play that, I think it's great because it gives the Cavs a veteran who can come out and score. But it also sort of shows to other teams like, hey, maybe it's worth taking a flyer on Kevin Love. Maybe that sort of, that tantrum that he threw there last year is behind him now, because he would love to obviously be on a team that's contending for a championship, and the Cavs aren't doing that. But I think the best way to increase his appeal to other teams is just to play hard and to accept the role. So good on him for that.
I'll show a little love to Jimmy Butler in the Miami Heat. I mean, they punked the Magic last night, 107-90. But Jimmy, 36 points, 15 of 21 shooting, and they were all inside. He had 10 baskets from inside 10 feet. He was just giving it to the young Magic guards. And he had struggled to start the season. Not that the Magic really had, but he had in terms of shooting the ball. So this was a bit of a breakout for him. And then Tatum, too, with 41 for the Celtics. Him and Brown, Jalen, finally having a good game at the exact same time. They sort of kept trading it off where you have a monster night and I'll struggle. And then, no, you have a monster night and I'll struggle. But they put it together, and that was a big big part of them coming back against the Hornets and getting the victory in overtime. Anything we're missing, TK?
I think we nailed everything except for the Hawks. Hawks won last night.
Mm.
Another big dunk from John Collins. Looks like that's his one dunk that he's just going to do on everybody. Yep. The one-handed alley-oop over somebody who happens to be standing at the rim. Nice stuff. 32 for Trae Young. 9 assists. Same old for the Hawks. A big dunk and a big game from Trae Young.
Well, that's exactly it. That's a good thing when you stop even getting really mentioned. I mean, you beat a crappy team. You hammered them, took care of business. And that's what the more elite teams do in this league. So good for the Hawks. Yeah, they're proving me wrong early here. I was like, let's temper expectations. Everybody's got them like, oh, they might be flirting with the third seed in the East. I look like I could be wrong. I know we'll get to more predictions that maybe are off to a great start or have started bad. They would be in the mix for predictions maybe I had wrong. Okay, let's take our first break. When we come back, a little 1 week in recap. When someone says GP, do you think of Grammarly Premium, Gary Payton, or Grand Prix more, TK?
I can't believe that it's Grammarly Premium right now. It probably is. If somebody said GP to me, the first thing I would think is Grammarly Premium.
Really? I think I still go
at
with the basketball player.
Code no dunks for 20% off.
Okay. Lee, what about you? We know you love Grammarly. Do you think of Grammarly Premium when I say GP, or do you think of the glove?
I'm still the glove. GP 20. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What about, Carl says, what about general practitioner? Is that true? Also a possibility. Okay. So we're 1 week in here to the NBA season. A few questions for you guys. First one, Tass. Biggest surprise, team, player, I mean, really, whatever you want, 1 week in, where you go?
Pretty surprised that Iman Shumpert is killing it on Dancing with the Stars. But also surprised that the Golden State Warriors are one of the three remaining undefeated teams. Just check who they're playing. Now, of course, we expected Steph to be good, but let's look up and down the roster for a sec. Steph and Dre, of course, they're killing it. They're waiting for Klay to come back. So who are the guys filling out this undefeated roster right now that ran the California gauntlet, beat both LA teams and Sacramento, and they haven't played themselves quite yet. But Jordan Poole is chipping in right now, doing his thing. Andrew Wiggins, they didn't even know if he'd be playing. He got vaccinated. He's playing. And Kevon Looney, that's their starting lineup. Then guys who were sort of cast off by their teams, Otto Porter, Nemanja Bjelica. You guys mentioned GP. They've got a Gary Payton on their team who's just – he's our 15th man. They debated, are we going to keep him around? He's playing minutes. He's hitting threes. What? He's known as a defensive guy. Juan Toscano-Anderson and Damian Lee, who were there last year. The young guys aren't playing at all. I think the fact that they beat both those L.A. teams, it is a surprise through week one. Of course, we know Steph is going to score 30-plus. That's what he's doing already. But it's – it's still a surprise to me that we haven't reached the clay part of the portion of their season, and we're seeing them undefeated. Steph came into the year saying, we kind of have three portions of our year, three sections of our year that we're dividing it into. The pre-clay, that we're just trying to figure it out, then with clay to figure it out, and then the postseason. And I'm sure he's surprised that they've started this great. That's the sign of a very, very good training camp. So I would say that on a macro level is the biggest thing. And then a micro level is Giannis Antetokounmpo's sped up free throw routine. Just didn't see it coming. He's loyal to the old routine, you know?
Yeah.
He just loved it. But he's back up over 70%, like he has been for a few years. It's the playoffs he slows down. Hopefully not literally, but the stats-wise, yeah, he was bad. Under 60 the last couple postseasons, but he's back to where he used to be. So that's a surprise to me. I don't know. I thought he'd be a stubborn Greek like me. I'm going 15 seconds. I'm the MVP. I'll do whatever I want. But it's fast now.
Well, he also went 17 for 19 in that closeout game against the Suns last year and still decided to change up the routine.
Yeah,
if I go 17 for 19 and win a championship in a 50-point game, I'm sticking with it. But I guess that's why I never get better every year.
Yeah. I mean, I think people have timed it now. It's like half the time task, like where it was generally taking 10 seconds because he dribbled. Now it's down to 5 seconds. He's got that one dribble and he lets it fly. And yeah, shooting 72.5% at the line through four games compared to 65.8% over the last two seasons combined. That's a nice little jump for a guy that gets to the line a ton. So yeah, I had that in my notes as well. But I really like your call there with your team surprise in the Warriors. I have a question. I know Trey's answer, so I won't even ask him. But of the three remaining undefeated teams, Lee, who's lasting the longest? Is it going to be the Bulls, the Warriors, or the Jazz, who are 2-0 and play again tonight? Yeah, if you're a guessing man.
Yeah, I'd like to check their schedules first. I think, give me the Bulls. Why not?
Schedule gets very, very difficult, but hey, they look great.
They don't play till Friday, which certainly helps as well.
4-0. It might be the last team standing. Yeah, I like that. Okay, let's go to you next here, Trey. Biggest surprise one weekend.
Well, a couple little guys that are struggling out of the gate. Damian Lillard, 17 points per game on 36% shooting. Ooh. I imagine he will improve. Also, Michael Porter Jr., 11 points per game on 38% shooting. Not liking the look at either of those guys to start the season, but in a good surprise, I'm going to give a shout out to the Wizards. We barely talked about them in our season preview, but somehow they're 2-1 right now. And as everybody expected, they've got a bottom 10 offense and a top 10 defense. What? Okay, that's surprising to me. Lost to the Nets last night, but they've been okay to start the season, even with Bradley Beal not playing his best. He's only at 21 a game on 36% shooting, but Spencer Dinwiddie has been picking up the slack. 19 points per game, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. He's shooting 42 from the field, 53 from 3. Also hasn't missed a free throw yet. And I just think it's worked out nice for the Wizards to start the season. They turned one Russell Westbrook into 4 rotation players. It's nice to have a rotation if you're the Wizards. Even if KCP hasn't been great, Kuzma's been okay, Harrell's been pretty good.
Yep.
The wins for the Wizards so far against the Raptors and Pacers, those could matter long-term once we get into the play-in tournament portion of the season. So good stuff from the Wizards to start the year.
I like it. Lee, what about you? What's a bigger surprise than that shirt you're wearing today?
Well, it's not a surprise that the leaf blower's going right now as it's my turn to talk here. Nice. But no, I'm just going to go a little bit more on Lillard because he's 2 for 24 from three-point range this season. He was 0 for 8 last night. He was 0 for 9 in the opener against the Sacramento Kings and 2 for 7 in the other game there. Odd. I would have expected Lillard. Remember, he had that big sort of talk before the season saying, I spoke with Chauncey Billups and I want to stay here because there was speculation, Henry Abbott saying that he wanted out of there. He refuted that and said no, but then he's come out here and really struggled to get things going at the start. So he will bounce back because it's Lillard. He's great. But I don't think I can remember really a stretch of this sort of bad shooting from him, even though it's only 3 games, sort of any time in his career. Like, he's in 36% from the field in total, but 8.3% from downtown. So expect that to change. And with it, the Blazers probably pick up a few more wins here. But one blowout, very impressive victory over the Phoenix Suns. Other two losses, not so nice there.
I'll go with maybe a little bit of a shocking surprise. We talked about him yesterday. James Harden, his sort of slow start. Nets just being 2-2. They'll be fine. We all know that. But I bring it up because I wanted to share this stat that I heard on the Athletic NBA show over the weekend from Andrew Schlecht, who, of course, filled in for JD last year for No Dunks There producing, and Alex, his co-host. This is just cool because it shows maybe the importance of starting strong, like a season, like the Bulls, I guess, going 4-0. Since the 99-2000 season, only one team that made it to the finals, so 44 teams total, had below a 500 record after 10 games. Just one started slow, if you want to call it that, after 10 games. Any guesses? I don't know if you guys heard the podcast. Any guesses as to which team that was?
Was it the Heat in 2011? Or
no, but you're on the right path.
Dallas Mavericks?
No, no. I was going to say on the right path with a key player on that team. So maybe that'll get you there.
Wade 05-06 Heat?
No, the 17-18 Cavaliers. Mm. Yes.
Ooh, Cavs.
LeBron's Cavs there in 17-18. And that was Wade was on that team at the start of the season. They were
nice,
completely different by the end of the year. But I just thought that was fascinating. They crunched the numbers. On average, all these teams that get to the finals, again, since 99-2000, their record's like 7-3. So they're like good teams, like basically from the jump. Outside of the Cavs, they're the only team that had a below 500 record. I thought that was fascinating. So, you know, something to watch, Lee, as we get to the 10-game mark. Who will, you know, will the Nets be 4-6? Will, I don't think it'll be the Jazz, but will the Bucks be that? No, probably not. Usually the good teams start strong, and they're pretty decent, and they go all the way to the finals. So
it's a real Atlanta Braves situation.
Good point.
Atlanta Braves weren't above 500 until their 111th game of the season. Latest ever for a World Series finalist.
Did you have any luck with World Series tickets there? Anybody?
No. Yes,
no. Okay.
Oh, you're trying there?
Sorry to bring
it up. This morning, but they were on sale to the public. It was only the insiders yesterday. I got through to the part where it's like put in your promo code. Didn't have one. I tried a few different things.
Oh, you were
What codes did you try?
Yeah, what'd you
Braves play? 1, 2, 3, Braves 2, Braves
fair.
95. I thought Braves 95. Tried them all, but.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a regular hacker.
Maybe we'll fall into a ticket. You never know. Okay, our next question here. One week in, you know I had to ask it. Because I'm a sucker. MVP, just an early season MVP. Who's at the table? Who's in the conversation, Trey?
Off the court, this guy is the easy MVP.
Bing bong.
That's true.
Easy MVP through the first week of the season. It's a little bit tougher call on the court, however. And I'm going with Ja Morant as my week one MVP. For me, it came down to him and LaMelo, a couple of choices for first-time All-Stars this year. But right now, Ja is leading the league in points per game at 35, also leading the league in PER. He's adding 8 assists per game, 3 rebounds per game. The splits are great. 58 from the field, 44 from 3. And it feels like Allen Iverson in 2001 again. Basically, the Grizzlies have one spectacular player who's going to try harder than anybody else on the court, massive force of personality, and everyone else is bought in because the next two Grizzlies leading scorers are Desmond Bain and DeAnthony Melton.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. People that sickos will know, but casuals, not so much. The Grizzlies right now, 2-1, just a missed free throw away, basically, from being 3-0, which almost tilted it to LaMelo Ball, giving him the MVP. But ultimately, I got to go with Ja for now. Though, if you want to take LaMelo, Lee, I would be happy to hear that.
Well, it was down to LaMelo or Ja for me, so I will take LaMelo. Why not? He has been incredible, and he doesn't have quite the same scoring there as Ja Morant, but he's not quite that same player. But shooting fantastically well as well, 47% from the field, 50%, and then he is 100% from the free throw line there. So this is great. I mean, these two stars, I think you can almost lock them both in for the All-Star game unless they were somehow to just completely fall away or get injured, because they've both really lived up to the hype. And LaMelo, that shot, I mean, it's not pretty pretty, and even when he shoots, he sort of like walks in. He doesn't almost feel that confident. Like he's trying to will the ball to go in. But they've been clean. Last night he swished several of those ones. So it's great to see. And the Grizzlies could have just maybe stolen that game off the Lakers. But other than that, I mean, Ja Morant has been absolutely unbelievable to start this season. So he doesn't either have the beautiful stroke of a shot, but it's going in, and that's all that counts. So great to see these two young stars really living up to their hype.
Okay, these guys have fallen in love with the shiny new toys, Tass. What about the old faithful? What about Curry? What about Giannis? Is there a case to be made for those guys one weekend?
Of course. It's easy to go with Steph or Giannis. That's a little boring, though, at this point. Let's give it to Ja here one weekend, because he may not be up there. You know, months from now, he should be making his first All-Star appearance. That should be the plan for Ja Morant. But since we don't know if he's going to be in this conversation months from now, let's give it to him at this one-week mark. The big one-week mark. We're talking right from the get-go, baby. And Ja's been really good for 2 years, but this has been, this has been incredible, the way he's decided to score whenever he wants, to really just get into the lane and somehow just sneak into those little crevices to be at 35 PPG for a guy like that. It's been amazing to watch him.
Who's the Bulls MVP, Trey, in their perfect season so far? Who do you give it to? I think that's sort of difficult. We know it's not Vooch, but where do you go?
I still think it's probably LaVine. I think he's ultimately the guy. He had two 30-point games. He's been really efficient outside last night's game, and he's been making plays defensively as well. So I think it's probably LaVine, but, I mean, DeRozan was making a case last night, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he was the closer for sure. Okay, our final one here. What's your best or worst prediction so far? So you can hit us with both, you can hit it with just one. I'll get us started. I feel like I've been wrong about a lot of stuff early in this year, especially when it comes to pick 'em, which we'll get to. But one that I maybe have hit is my sixth man of the year pick, which was Tyler Hero there of the Heat. I think Tass shared that with all of you. It was one of the season preview shows that I missed. He is balling for Miami right now. 23-7, 5 as well off the pint. 23-7-5. For Miami. Now, he gets lots of minutes coming off the bench, 32 minutes per game. But it's pretty insane because he could be even playing better. He's only shooting 34.8% from distance. He's a career 37% three-point shooter, so that might even tick up. A wild fact is he's yet to register a steal or a block. But that's okay. He's not out there for that. He is out there to get buckets, and 23.75 is great. He's also credited Kyle Lowry with some of his early success. I thought it was interesting. He said, quote, "My first 2 years in the league, I didn't really have a point guard that could get everyone organized to their spots. That's no knock on my previous teammates, though it might be a little bit. It's just the way that Kyle gets everyone to their spots, how he's a leader. He just understands the game in a way that not many people do." So I thought that was a fun little line there from Tyler Hero, who there are other guys in the mix. I mean, Montrezl Harrell, I think, too, a six-man candidate. You know, Clarkson's going to be there, a couple other guys, but Tyler Hero so far, Tass, looking pretty good. So maybe I got one of these right after 1 week at least. But where do you go for your best or worst prediction so far?
I didn't go through all of them, but I also had Tyler Hero as a sixth man. So I'll go with that, because when you invoke the names of Trae Young and Luka Doncic before the season, you say, I should be in that category with those guys. You got to perform. And Tyler Hero did that. He said, I want to be part of that conversation. He obviously had that rough playoff run last year. He averaged 9 points in that embarrassing loss to the Milwaukee Bucks in four straight. But he looks like the player that took over the league in the bubble. He looks like that same guy. He came out in the preseason, so I'm not really buying this Kyle Lowry thing. He's just coming out and scoring whenever he wants. Just give him the ball. He's the point guard. He came out in preseason. He scored 51 points in his first 50 minutes. He had a 16-point quarter. He was just hot. He's on a perfect team for him, too, because Kyle's not going to take a ton of shots from him. They need a creator. And so, yeah, he's should be up there. He's like in that Jordan Clarkson role that Clarkson won last year. It's Tyler Hero gets on the floor. He can take whatever shot he wants.
Lee, let's go to you next. Best or worst prediction?
Well, I guess I didn't really predict this as a sixth man of the year, but Patty Mills is the most underrated signing, I think, is really paying off right now. I think he has probably been Brooklyn's second best player there. I mean, James Harden will get better, but he's struggling a little bit by his normal standards. But Patty has been giving them buckets off the bench at 14.5 a game, 52% from downtown, 64% from three-point range for Patty Mills coming off the bench. But he really has given them that injection. He understands his role. He's a veteran. He's played it so much in San Antonio, and he goes to a situation in Brooklyn where it's come out, fire away, Patty, like Tyler Herro. Just come out there and shoot and score. You're not really out there to defend or rebound or anything like that. You're out there to keep that scoreboard ticking over, and he's doing that. He nailed his first 10 for the season, and then he got cool a little bit there Sunday against the Charlotte Hornets, but hit another 5 there last night. So, Patty, and I've been seeing people on the tweets like, how did the Nets get Patty Mills so cheaply? How did he go there? You know, how come no other team picked him up? Paddy's great, and he's got a player option on that second year as well at $6 million. So, Paddy,
smart man.
Yeah, Paddy could find himself walking into a few big bucks next season too.
Do you think Patty Mills will go in the three-point competition this year? Has he ever been in?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't believe he has. So, yeah, he should go in it. Why not? Yeah.
I'd like to see him gun away off the rack there. Okay. Patty Mills, do you have one maybe you've botched here early or you're not feeling that great about
it? Oh, let's not go down that path.
Oh, come on.
Well, I sort of corrected myself anyway with the Matisse Thybulle most improved.
Okay.
Yeah, he just can't score enough. But, in Friday night's game, when he gets out and runs, it's like that's how you can cash in and get a few extra buckets. But he doesn't quite do it enough. So, I'm not pulling back the Trae Young MVP yet. I think I'm going to hold on to that one.
Yeah.
I think that loss now to Cleveland doesn't actually look as bad, seeing the Cavs playing well in all their games and then going to Denver and getting a win. So I'm going to hold on to that one. I mean, you can't just put that genie back in the bottle so soon. You got to give it at least a month, 2 months.
No, that's fine. I mean, and like you're banking on the Hawks maybe having the best record in the East or a top two record in the East.
And yeah. And
going to be in the conversation if that's the case.
And the fact is, you know, those other heavier MVP picks, Doncic is not really in the conversation a week in.
No.
Giannis, same, not Kevin Durant. So you've got, like we're saying, LaMelo and Ja Morant. Are they at a high watermark right now? They might come back to the pack here. That's when Trey can pounce.
Okay. Well, let's go to our Trey. Best or worst prediction so far?
My worst prediction is the Lakers winning the Western Conference Finals, which is why my best prediction was when I pulled a Tyler Matzik and hit him with a curveball to change it to the Warriors winning the West. Because like Tess is saying, the Warriors have been much more impressive than the Lakers to start the season. The Warriors kind of look like they're back to at least what we expected they would be once KD went to Brooklyn. And, you know, obviously injuries derailed their season a couple of years ago when they were opening the Chase Center. But Steph is balling and they're getting contributions from a bunch of role players who maybe you would not have expected. We'll see if it continues for this season, but guys like Poole and Bielitsa and Damian Lee have all been contributing. I think they're going to get something from Klay. I mean, they probably won't get top-notch Klay, but if he can be 90% of what he was prior to the injuries and the other players that are playing well for the Warriors right now continue to contribute, they're going to look good come playoff time because Curry is still just a special, special guy. He makes everybody better, and the defense has been solid, and Draymond has been great. So I think those things shall continue. Meanwhile, the Lakers are trying to figure out how to play basketball together, and I don't know. Just not an inspiring watch early in the season.
No, but, I mean, I know Tass talked about this a lot. This was sort of expected with the Lakers, maybe them trying to figure it out at least, and I don't think anybody's going to panic too much. Tass, have you started panicking when it comes to how the Lakers are playing and how they look with Westbrook trying to fit in there and all these old guys, or are you still like, no, let's at least give it a couple weeks here?
The fact that LeBron and Anthony Davis look so freaking good makes me not panic whatsoever, right? Like, they're going to reel them back in. Those guys have come in looking like potential MVP candidates if, you know, the Lakers pick it up a little bit. So, nah, you can't worry with those two dudes leading the way. They'll rally the troops. They'll be all right.
Okay, that's a fun question for everybody out there. Let us know here in the stream team, in the YouTube comments. Tweet at us at NoDunksInc. Some of your predictions that you're feeling pretty confident about, some that are maybe off to a bad start, MVP 1 week in, biggest surprises, all that good stuff. Okay, we got to take one more break. When we come back, though, a fun tweet of the night from Lili and pick 'em results. Yeah, that's my little spoiler, guys. I might have a ticket for Sunday night's game five game, if it goes game to five games. But I will not even share how much it's going for, right?
Yeah.
I'm quite frankly sickened by the number. But hey,
say
World
it
Series,
out
never
loud.
Been. No, it's not actually not bad. It's not too bad. 580 nosebleeds.
Oh, that's fine.
That's not bad, yeah. But
nice.
You know, it's also not great.
No.
I'm not like a giant Braves fan, so that's a weird part. But hey, World Series in town. Let's go check it out. But then it won't even go to five. Watch the Braves sweep them starting tonight. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
What do you got, Lily?
Yeah, so this one comes from It's Whitney on Twitter, Whitney Medworth there, and she was keeping us up to date with Iman Shumpert's progress on Dancing with the Stars, because here he is with his partner Daniela last night and their routine. Check it out.
Really into this, eh, Lee?
Oh, yeah, look at that. That's the best part there. Look at that.
Didn't know if you were ever going to say something.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
You can't even hear the music. So just talk over it. Oh.
Now, they scored four perfect tens. 40 out of 40 for that routine there. Iman Shumpert. Incredible stuff there. Really, really good stuff to see. So well done to Iman. Had LeBron tweeting about it. Had Dwayne Wade tweeting about it. Thought it was great. So... well done, Iman Shumpert and Daniela.
Yeah, JD, can you play it again so Lee can give us commentary over it next time?
It wasn't a ton of dancing, though. Well, I mean, a great performance.
Yeah, choreography is great, though. You know, the timing there.
That was wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Knocked it out of the park.
I'm with Tass here. I saw it going around on Twitter last night. 40 for 40, perfect performance. I'm thinking, this is great. I've had a long-standing theory. Every NBA guard is good at dancing. Yeah, so we're going to see Iman Shumpert really cutting a rug out here. That was lifting with the Stars. He was just picking her up, putting her on his shoulders, carrying her from side to side, and doing the choreography. That wasn't dancing, though.
Wow.
I'm giving him an 8 of 10.
Lee, respond.
Well, I've seen plenty of these dancing shows, and you know how important it is to be in sync the whole time. Like, if you're out of sync at any point, you're almost guaranteed to not get a perfect score. So... they were like working. It's like the pick and roll, the perfect pick and roll there. They were just finishing every single time. So I was very impressed with it because it seems so smooth. And when he like puts her up on her shoulders like that and drops her down, I mean, I always feel so nervous when I see, it's like when you see the cheerleaders get flung up in the air like that. You're like, oh my God, they must have so many accidents that you don't see until you see, you know, when you watch the game, they do it fine. But like behind the scenes, there must be plenty of accidents. So, you know,
did you notice that he almost fell the one time?
A couple of times, yeah. And when he was walking down the steps.
It looks like he almost falls off the stage. Yeah.
And that's the thing, that trust and that communication and connection there. Like, you put so much faith in the other person remembering where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing, like, to catch you. Right. Because if you don't, I mean, boom, off the stage you go. So
I just think it's amazing they got a 40 out of 40 dancing to no music. Life could fucking
so
barely
can
hear
feel
a thing.
You can just feel it.
People
music,
are like,
you know?
What? I thought my internet dropped. I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, JD, can you run it back in complete silence one more time here?
Oh, my God.
I got 5 on it. That's the percent of volume that was played.
You need a Sonos on it is what you need. All right. I thought that was going to go a little differently than it was, but shout out to Iman Shumpert. I mean, whatever. All right, pick 'em results brought to you by BetMGM. Bulls-Raptors was the game. Oh, man. The Bulls pull out the victory, yes, and the victory when it comes to pick 'em. So that's a win for Trey and Lee. They had to win by 3 or more, and they just did.
Oh, barely.
Man, if Van Vliet attacks Vucevic and just tries to take the easy 2, then maybe they cover. But, of course, he was going for the 3 to tie it up and missed that. So congrats to Trey and Lee. Lee's 4-1. Trey's 3-2. Tass and I with the L's having to back our wraps. We are both 1-4 to start this year. 5 games on tonight, Tass. Where are we going?
Well, Denver and Utah. You'd think that this line would be a little bit closer, but Denver coming off a back-to-back is a 7.5-point dog going to visit the undefeated Utah Jazz, we're at 2-0. 7.5 points for the Jazz. So when I threw this in the Slack, this is our game. I let it off with a saxophone. I jumped into Lee's emoji bag. I thought we were all going to scat. We're all going to play our different instruments because all the emojis are there to you know, belt out a keyboard if you want, or trumpet, trombone, whatever you want. But Lee, we're just jazzing it up. Lee threw out a sax as well. We're both playing the alto, it looks like, I think. What the heck is going on with the skeets and the trade bombs here?
Well, I mean, once I saw you dip your toes into the emoji pool, I knew I had to throw it in there. Skeets is up next. I was honestly worried when I saw the game that we were picking from come through task, because I was like, if Lee even responds with mountains here, there's no way that I'm going to know if it stands for the Denver Nuggets or the Utah Jazz. Yeah. Thankfully, y'all came through with the woodwind instrument. As for me, I'm going with the Nuggets just on a bounce-back game sort of here. They could use this one against Utah, but I don't know. I'm not totally into this. I'd love to see somebody go forehead.
You're swerving.
Yeah.
Got to have somebody swerve.
Lean in the bean.
So three of us taking the Jazz to win by 8 or more points, and Trey's hoping it's a close game or even a Denver win. Can they hand Utah their first loss of the season? We'll find out. That one's on TNT tonight. That's the late game. Things get started with the Sixers at the Knicks. So back to MSG. That's the first game on TNT. We also have Warriors Thunder tonight, Rockets Mavs, Lakers Spurs, and then, like I said, Nuggets Jazz. Okay, calling it there. Thank you so much to the stream team for joining us live. Everybody subscribe, hit the like button, drop us a comment, email us your NBA questions for our next Beach Steppin' podcast. You got time. Send them in to nodunks@theathletic.com. Hit us up on Twitter at nodunksinc. We're also on Instagram and TikTok if you're up for a laugh. No breaks tomorrow afternoon. TK with our guy Graydon Gordian talking about the USGP, which may or may not stand for Grammarly Premium.
the US Gary Payton coming at you.
All of the races, what's going on in the F1 world. That's no breaks later in the afternoon. We'll be back, though, in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. So join us then and grab yourself an athletic subscription, theathletic.com/nodunks. I did see somebody in the YouTube comments yesterday saying, I immediately try and hit the skip button when you guys start doing your ad reads. You know, I think they said I would pay money for, you know, a No Dunks podcast without ad reads. Well, guess what? You can do that. You can get yourself an athletic subscription.
That's right.
And then all of our podcasts over there on the Athletic app, there's no ad reads. So if you want to do that, have at it. You can absolutely enjoy the show without the ad reads. No skips, says Dale. That's right, Dale. Respect. Okay, thanks everybody. We will see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, tomorrow's episode of No Dunks is actually going to be called No Skips, and it's just going to be ads. Wall to wall ads. See if you like that.
Brace the day, people. You could stay.